All right, so it's been a busy, not just news week, but busy news month. In case you missed it, Macomb County Prosecutor Eric Smith resigned this week after being hit with 10 felony charges, including embezzlement and running a criminal enterprise. And State Senator Pete Lucido said, hey, I want that job, and filed to run for Macomb County Prosecutor. He's on the line with us right now. Senator, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Good morning to listeners there in Port Huron and all across the state.
We have talked before about the possibility of you running for Congress or for governor. Why Macomb County Prosecutor?
You know what? I guess I've been making this happen all my life. I grew up homegrown in Macomb, lived here all my life, made my roots here and, you know, solidified them. So when I went to undergrad, I became a probation officer to pay my way through school. Then when I went to law school, I worked as a public defender, defending those that had not. And then when I got out and opened my law firm, it was here in Macomb County. For 30 years, I practiced and I did criminal defense work. And now as a lawmaker, both as a state House member and a senator, I initiated law that passed that had to do with criminal justice reforms, things that I see and an appetite for helping people. And as the judiciary chairman in the Senate, as well as public safety, I think I add that value to what it needs right now, and that is restore the trust of the people.
In a little bit of irony, one of those measures that you helped, that you introduced and that got passed was involving forfeiture with the prosecutor's office.
Right.
And one of the charges against the former prosecutor is that he was embezzling things that were seized and confiscated from people's homes.
That's the main thrust of the case. It was civil asset forfeiture that I brought forth and championed it all the way through. I passed 5 pieces of legislation to reform it because I thought it was a violation of your basic fundamental rights, which is property rights. No one should be able to take anything of anyone unless and until you convict them, okay? And after you convict them, then you can take the property if it's been a instrument of criminal activity, which means no one should profit from criminal activity. Not one person should profit from criminal activity. But at the end of the day, what about fairness? Did we forget about fundamental fairness and due process? I have property rights. I have a right to a hearing, and I have due process, a right to do my case and prove that I, you know, am not a criminal.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be able to take people's property without having due process of the law.
There are voters in Macomb County who are going to say, hey, isn't this the guy that was accused of sexual harassment in order to undergo training? Why should I vote for him for prosecutor in office that, you know, just was, you know, already hit by a scandal? What do you say to the voters that are going to question your character?
Well, let me tell the voters this. For now, 40 years of my life, because, you know, I had to go to school and everything else, working with thousands of individuals here in Macomb County, no one has ever charged, nor have they accused me of something like this. This was all politically motivated at the Capitol. Unfortunately, at the end of the fact-finding, there was a no finding, unequivocally, non-substantiated was the words they used, that there was any sexual harassment. So that chapter of the book is closed. There's no sexual harassment. Politically motivated, it was interesting. Right after I called out the governor on how she's failing the state, immediately, they went ahead and started having 3 of these women make allegations, kind of like Kavanaugh, they called it. But at the very end of it, I'm still sitting as the chairman of the Judiciary and Public Safety, as well as JCAR. I'm still the whip, which is a management position. So I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, I'd like the file open. Let everybody see transparency and openness. That's what government should be. And let them be my jurors, because allegations are only allegations, and at the end of the day, you got to prove your case, which means fundamental fairness again.
Talking with State Senator Pete Lucido, Senator, what is your estimation of the governor's handling of the COVID-19 crisis here in Michigan thus far?
You know, Paul, this morning I was on Fox and Friends, and they asked me the same question. They said, what about this order that you, as a state senator, have to deal with next week on the 7th? She wants to extend basically shut down the state for 70 more days. Look, this is very important to me. Safety of people is first and foremost in the health of people, but I want everybody to listen. The doctors are telling us to call and go through the symptoms. It's called telemedicine. There's no way you can substitute in-person face-to-face with a stethoscope to check my heart, my lungs, to see if there's fluid in there or that I'm breathing differently. Face-to-face is also checking my temperature, asking for symptoms such as where it hurts if you have these flu-like symptoms. And I bought insurance. It didn't limit me on what I need to do. If the hospitals don't have the beds available, nor the medical personnel, that's the biggest problem I see now. China makes 95% of the masks that are coming back to Michigan, and we should have never outsourced that. We should have made it here in the USA. But if you're failing the people by calling in on telemedicine because you don't have the resources to go into the hospital, we're failing the people now. And I've paid for a full service for my medical. I want full service. If I don't feel well, I want to be able to go be checked out and looked at, not looked at over a computer, not to have a stethoscope or any kind of medical personnel take care of me the way I paid for. So that's a very important point. But the masks in China, they started wearing masks, everyone, everywhere they went. And if they didn't have a mask, they had some kind of bandana over their mouth or they had some kind of scarf. That can even Dr. Khaldun said last night that you can get this virus just talking to people. I hope it's not over the phone, Paul, like we're doing right now.
Well, that's all right. I've got hand sanitizer here. So.
Okay. You better use mouth sanitizers. But here's the, at the end of the day, I really want the people to realize that this is a bigger problem in the face of medical care and treatment. It's a bigger problem. We should have been wearing masks right out of the gate if, in fact, it's airborne, which means even if I'm talking in the room, whatever comes out of my mouth can be the coronavirus, even if I'm not exhibiting the symptoms. It's a real problem. It really is. 70 days, you will break the economy. And at the end of the day, if everybody's wearing masks in the landscaping business or agricultural, because we do have to eat, they do have to plant the crops, they do have to go ahead and get the greenhouses up and running, we do have to get our lawns cut, this is going to spike a huge problem economically, as well as it will also exacerbate families that will have more problems over time.
It's already hurt the economy tremendously. I know the legislature has work to do, but the governor has specifically said she does not want the legislature to meet. She's asking you not to in the wake of the health crisis.
Yeah, she has 35 orders in place right now. Everything is calculated based on timing, and that is on the 7th of April, which is coming up real soon. The emergency order that she did is going to go ahead and is going to now expire. The legislature has to act. We have no choice, like we did when we appropriated $150 million immediately to start taking care of the families for the coronavirus. The other thing I want everybody to realize is this. The unemployment claims have escalated so much, like she said last night on the news, that or for her town hall, that you're seeing the computer crash, and we still haven't fixed that. This has been going on for a week, so I want to get some answers on that. Why these individuals that are reliant on those dollars to take care of their families when they can't go to work and they're laid off as a result of can't going to work, why are they being penalized because the computer doesn't work? Some people are staying on hold for 4, 5, 6 hours. I've heard one lady, 20 hours, yeah. She told me. At the end of the day, that's not fair, and it's unjust. And on top of it, if you need that small business loan, the Band-Aid, because these small businesses are what's employing our families, you got no choice. You got to get through to go on or go online, and the computer, it doesn't work. Things are not working the way they should, but nobody could predict what was going to happen here in Michigan. I want to get some answers because, like she said, data is the most important. Metrics are also important, too. How many people are we healing?
Sure.
How many people are that was diagnosed? Are we getting better?
Well, and I think we're starting to look at those numbers a little bit more closely than we were heading into this. But, yeah, there obviously is a pretty decent recovery rate. Not everybody that dies of it. That being said, our condolences. I understand that COVID-19 hit very close to you and in your office this week.
Paul, this was tragic. The mother I've known for over 40 years. In fact, she was coming into law school when I was getting out. The father was a police officer for Roseville. Ben Hirschman is his name. And Ben was just a lightning bolt when he hit Lansing. He came into the office. It was all about America and pride and his religious values. He was a true champion, and I call him simply the best, Ben. Ben had died. In fact, that's what brought me to the point of the telemedicine. Ben has called his doctor twice, not once, twice, after 5 days, and he was in isolation in his room because he wasn't feeling good. So they tell you, you have to first get a note from your doctor to be seen. Interesting enough, Ben made the calls twice to his doctor and went through, no, I don't have a fever. I do have the chills. I am achy. I'm having a little trouble breathing. I can take a breath, but I'm slowing down on my breath. Would it have made a difference, Paul, had he gone in, maybe seen her face-to-face? And at the end of the day, the morning when he got up, he told his mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I've got to go in. I'm aching so bad. I got the chills. I'm starting to sweat. He dropped dead on the floor. His mom tried to do CPR, and he wouldn't come back. 24 years old, college graduate, looking at what would be, you know, the highlight of his life, starting a career, and he's no longer with us. And that goes back to my point about telemedicine. Is it really a service or a disservice at the end of the day? Yes, we all have prayers out for Ben and his family. Mom's sitting there with Dad writing an obituary for her 24-year-old son.
What an absolute tragedy. What a strange time this is for us to be going through. What a strange time to launch a political campaign. And I don't mean inappropriate. I just mean strange, because ordinarily you'd be thinking about all the Rotary meetings you want to go to, and all the people that you want to shake hands with, and all the bumper stickers and yard signs you want to place. And that's kind of put on the back burner right now, despite the fact that you are launching a campaign for prosecutor in Macomb County.
This will be the first time that I can say that there won't be fundraisers to meet and greet, grip and grin, whatever you want to call it, people, and talk to them about the issues. But it's interesting enough that, I mean, how do you get your message across? Do you have call-ins? Do you have, like, town halls where they can call in and ask you questions like we're doing right now? Ask me anything. It's fine. That's the kind of person I am. I used to have these coffee hours when I could in the district, and I would open it up to the whole room, 40, 50, 60 people that would show up at a time. Ask me anything. It doesn't matter. I'm not a politician, but I became one now as a result of running for public office. My children have all grown. They went through college and professional school. At the end of the day, I'm still Pete Lucido. I'm still that guy that grew up in Macomb County. I'm still homegrown in Macomb, and I care about the town and the people that I serve. That's where I'm at.
Pete, we always appreciate your time and your candor. Thanks for joining us this morning. Good luck in your campaign, however you decide to do it, on Zoom, Facebook, wherever. And I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Paul Miller, you have yourself a great weekend. On top of it, the listeners do the same. And stay healthy and stay safe.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.